a bit. I'll remember this. I'll remember this the next time there's a porn star or somebody on the studio and everybody wants to see pictures. Next time there's like some hot girl in the studio and everybody's like, post pictures of it on the website. I'm going to remember that you, the a-holes that are sending me all kinds of horrific insect photos now. Thanks. Thanks so much. Jerks. All right, 503-733. I just want somebody to set me on fire so I'll quit itching. 503-733-2970. By the way, you can go to rickemerson.com right now. I posted a picture of that. It's also on Sarah's page, sarahxl.com. You can go to rickemerson.com. There's a photo of the thing that's currently Rogers. And it's probably wearing your clothes and smoking cigars.
Well, I'm hoping that I shut the shower doors. So I'm hoping that it will stay in there because it seemed to have a hard time climbing up the sides of the bathtub. I hope.
Do not approach this creature. It will effing kill you, says this email. Ladies and gentlemen at the Ministry of Truth, will you please put your working class hands together for the man, the legend.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A grandmother is charged with driving with a woman on her hood. 69-year-old Virginia Martin drove a mile and a half down Mill Plain Boulevard with another woman to hang onto her hood.
Fantastic. Happened yesterday afternoon.
Apparently, the two women were picking up children at the Y East Middle School when Martin rear-ended the woman in front of her. And the cops say the two women argued over insurance information, and Martin started to drive off. The woman somehow landed on Martin's roof and hung on for dear life while Martin kept driving. Martin told the police the woman jumped on her hood and had plenty of chances to jump off but refused.
Her own fault.
Martin drove a mile and a half down Mill Plain Boulevard with the woman hanging onto that hood. She wasn't failing. She wasn't screaming. Well, she didn't seem to be screaming. She was just hanging on to dear life, said a witness.
She was asking for it.
She's okay.
All right.
Meanwhile, a father who locked his son in a bathroom for almost 2 weeks has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. 28-year-old Jeremy Laws and his girlfriend Misty Wolf.
Misty Wolf.
Misty Wolf.
Apparently, that's a Misty Wolf.
Misty, well, I think we've got a candidate for the new KUFO calendar. Pled guilty to criminal mistreatment. Wolf got 3 years in prison at the pair's sentencing in Marion County. Salem police say the child welfare workers found the four-year-old boy in the bathtub July 24th. Bruised and malnutrition. He'd been in the bathroom for 12 days with no bedding. An anonymous caller tipped off the authorities. Law has custody of the boy and two older siblings, a boy and a girl. They're now in foster care.
And this is what, her and her husband?
Boyfriend.
Boy heard about, of course.
Yeah.
Misty Wolf is the other one.
We've taken her back and beaten.
That's that.
Meanwhile, on the Washington, D.C. we go, where House Democratic leaders are pushing legislation that would force a timetable for the withdrawal of U.S. troops in Iraq. Yes, they're trying to show some backbone, finally. The plan aims to have all U.S. troops out of Iraq by the end of 2008. Now, timetables could be pushed up if the president cannot certify the Iraqi government has met security benchmarks. At a Capitol News conference today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Democrats will also provide more money to go after the Taliban, who are on the loose again, and the Al-Qaeda, who are also in Afghanistan causing trouble.
So that we can focus more fully on the real war on terror, which is in Afghanistan. Again, a war that is unfinished and nearly forgotten by the administration.
Why is the war on terror? Didn't there some story that came out last week that like, Osama bin Laden's living in Pakistan?
I heard that.
It was just some like they knew where he was. Like, well, he's over there in the Blue House. Like, they just knew where he was.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the wars in Iraq, we're not doing anything in Afghanistan except apparently helping them to grow their poppy fields back. And we're ignoring the fact that this is another thing about how we just don't want to irritate people. Saudi Arabia sends 19 guys to fly a plane, some planes into some buildings. We don't do anything about it. Osama bin Laden is living in Pakistan. We don't do anything about it. They're getting ready to export heroin against Afghanistan. We don't do anything about it because we're too busy knocking over the 2-inch buildings into 1-inch buildings in Iraq.
All right, fine. So this isn't quick enough for some of these Democrats. Illinois Democrat Jan Schakowsky said the president has run out of chances in Iraq.
No more chances. No more waivers. No more spending billions of dollars to send our children into the meat grinder that is Iraq. It is time to spend the money to keep them safe and bring them home.
Congressman David Obey of Wisconsin says money will be provided for troops in Afghanistan.
It will set a timeline for bringing
the United States' participation in Iraq's civil war to an orderly and responsible close.
What is his last name?
Obey.
Obey? Obey. It's like a ready-made campaign Obey. Slogan. Fantastic.
So what do the Republicans have to say about this? Well, House Minority Leader John Boehner says Democratic proposals amount to failure at any cost.
By establishing and telegraphing to our enemy arbitrary timelines for withdrawal, Democrats are mandating failure.
Yeah, by the way, I'd like to say that we here on the Rick Emerson Show are proud that we opposed this from the beginning. That we're not... Is it, I think everything is like 80% of America think Iraq is a mistake and going bad. But what happened to the 94% of people who thought it was a great idea?
They wanted us all fired and hung back then.
Seriously, where are you now? Where's the 94% that thought it was the best idea in the history of the world? This is like how, you know, Woodstock attracts 300,000 people and then 20 years later, 9 million people claim to have gone with it. So we have unwavered on that, I am proud to say. All right, it's Tim Riley.
So the Boehner expresses confidence in the U.S. military and says Republicans will be reunited in opposing the Democrats.
If we see the Iranians...
This is going to hold up myself.
Here we go. Here
Republicans are not going to vote to tie the hands of our generals and our troops underground, slowly bleed the resources away from them, and we're not going to vote for failure in Iraq, which is exactly what their plan does.
I remember taking that vote for failure. I remember we all decided to lose badly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good God Almighty. Let me just take a couple of these here. This is Luke, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I've got a great story. My wife was in the shower, and a little tree frog came in the window.
A tree frog?
Yeah, a cute little tree frog came in the window. This was in the woods. And she started screaming for me about this frog. So I go in, I laugh at her derisively, and eventually throw the tree frog out the window.
Uh-huh.
Now, this was so much fun, so I went outside, found the tree frog, threw it back in the window. She screamed again, ha-ha. She throws it back out at me, locks the window. So, on our patio out there, there's this plastic toy frog that's about the size of my hand set out. So I grab that, go back in the house, open the door, throw it in the shower with her. Big clump on the floor. Now, by now, she's got soap in her shampoo completely in her hair.
Right.
She looks down between her legs and screams at the top of her lungs and pops down on her butt on the floor in the shower. Now, by this time, I'm collapsed in the floor laughing.
I like that your whole goal is to give your wife a mental collapse in a breakdown of some kind while she's trying to clean her body.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, it was worth it. She kept getting better. I couldn't stop, you know?
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's Luke. Thank you, Luke. I'll do one more here. Peter, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
Yo, that bug in question is called a silverfish. I was doing some demo in my basement, and you know, I saw one of these, like, the eyelash sausages run behind a...
The eyelash sausages.
...behind some plaster, and so I pulled it off, and Sarah, where there is one, there is 100, and they just spread everywhere. So I looked it up at Pals in a bug book, and they're called silverfish, and their habitat is basements in the Northwest. No kidding.
See, and I've seen silverfish growing up, and silverfish, like, live inside of books and whatnot, too. And I wonder if it's the same thing, although I do like the phrase that where there's one, they're just like communists. Where there's one, there's going to be a whole passel of them.
That's right. 16-ounce hammer works great on ridding the house of silverfish.
Fantastic. I'm going to put that in a book. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. That's Peter. All right. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Who's Hollywood's hottest blonde? According to In Touch Weekly, it is...
Wait. Don't tell me. Hollywood's hottest blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Reese Witherspoon.
Well, you're close. Christina Aguilera.
Really? Okay, fine.
She says her blonde hair reflects that she is, quote, happy now more than I've ever been, unquote. Following her on the Hollywood's hottest blonde list are Reese Witherspoon, Kate Hudson, and Hayden Panettiere, along with Pamela Anderson, Gwyneth Paltrow, Scarlett Johansson. Paris Hilton's going to be in there, of course. Heidi Klum. And singer Gwen Stefani.
I don't even know what Christina Aguilera looks like. She's one of those women, she's kind of like Madonna in that sense.
And
like,
you're trying to do the old Hollywood thing with her.
Well, yeah, she's doing that Jean Harlow thing where she looks like she ought to be she ought to be painted on the nose of a plane or something, or like singing at the USO before the brave boys go off to fight Jerry the next day or whatever. The Which I think works for me. I know Susan Reynolds is complaining about Christina Aguilera that she's got so much makeup on that you can't really. And I guess I've seen so many photos of her where she looks like a Vargas girl, where she looks so airbrushed all the time. You know, the hottest she has ever looked, though, and I'm going to say this right now about Christina Aguilera, it's not even so much now where she's doing the 40s glamour girl look. The hottest Christina Aguilera has ever looked is in those ads for, like, was it Skechers? Was it those ads? Yeah, where she was like
Skechers or Candies, I can't remember.
Yeah, it was like a shoe, though, where she was like a naughty nurse or whatever. Those were fantastic. Those are, that right there, that's what they ought to put in some sort of time capsule to send to alien civilizations. Those photographs of Christina Aguilera. So, she might not look all that great in person. But, you know, as far as on the page, that's the hottest she ever was.
Guess what? Roman Catholic still remains the top religion in the U.S. You know how many there are? 69 million. And the next runner-up, Southern Baptist, you think there'd be a lot more than 16.3 million, but that's all they are. But they cause enough trouble, don't they?
Nah, it's 69 million and falling.
Mm-hmm. And United Methodist Church came in third with just over 8 million members. So that's also a decrease.
The Latter-day Saints, though, the Mormons are the fastest-growing religion, not only in America, but as I understand it, the fastest-growing. And here's a weird question.
They're fourth in size.
They're trending upward, though. The Catholic Church, I think people have come to the realization that the Catholic Church is just creepy. That you could be, like, you sit there. I know that it's a thing that is supposed to be comforting. Like, I remember the last time I went to a Catholic Church service was, God, like 4 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever Laura and I were in San Francisco for Christmas. We're in San Francisco, I'm like, hey, and I've told this story before. We're like, let's go to midnight mass. We're sitting there at midnight mass, and the priest comes out, and he's doing this Dominus Apostolus, whatever, and he's just so sad. Because it's midnight mass in San Francisco, which has one of the oldest Catholic communities in the country, and it, I think, was the single oldest Catholic church on the West Coast. I forget what it was called. St. Joseph's, I think it was.
Yeah, because they had a huge Irish and Italian population.
Yeah.
The Irish have all gone to the suburbs. Some of the Italians are still there in the Italian part.
And it was, and so you were there, sort of figure, well, it's going to be huge. It's going to be the whole pomp and circumstance of the ceremony. And it was like half full, maybe. And the priest is like 100 years old. And there are no new priests coming in. There are no new, and he just seemed really like had the life beaten out of him. And we're sitting there in this like spooky, pagan, weird building. And I guess maybe it's supposed to be comforting, but you're just sitting there and the whole thing just feels creepy. Whereas if you go to a Mormon church service, it's like attending an Amway meeting. And I mean that as a compliment. It's just very sort of corporate and just very sort of like very businesslike and very formal, which I guess is the same thing from the people get out of Scientology, that it's just very sort of modern feeling. Like the whole, I get the feeling that all of Scientology, the whole thing just feels very carpeted and lit with fluorescent lights. It doesn't have any of the weird medieval trappings to it that the Catholic Church has. I will ask this one question about the Scientologists, though. I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to posture that I know anything about the church, because I don't. The weird thing about Scientology to me, apart from everything, is that they have that. It's not a logo, but it's that symbol, and it's like a cross. It's like a cross covered in spikes. Like, you drive by any of the Scientology church, like especially in L.A., you drive by the Scientology Center, and it's like a big, it's not a crucifix, but it's a cross, like merged with some sort of weird cudgel that, like, you would beat somebody to death with in Lord of the Rings. It's really bizarre. It's like a cross with, like, weird, pointy, ouchy-looking spikes coming out of it. So what the hell that's all about. Well, in any event. Sean about Christina Aguilera. Hello, sir.
Hello. Happy belated birthday, Ray.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, I didn't know if you were able to see it or not, but Christina Aguilera did grace the cover of Maxim this month, and she was able to wash the dirty off quite nicely.
Now, when you say wash the dirty off, are you talking about the dirty from the couple years ago when she was rolling around in slime?
That would be correct.
Yeah. No, she does. She cleans up well, and maybe that's not the wrong, that's not even the right phrase to use. I think maybe she can be made up very well. That's the thing about her. She can do a lot of looks. She can look hot a lot of different ways. And some girls, it's like they, if they try anything, like I remember when Britney Spears tried to have black hair, and that didn't work out at all.
No, she still looks like a whole lot of whiskey tango.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Well done. Whiskey Tango. Here's Tim Riley. Fantastic.
Springfield, Oregon, the list of like-named towns competing for this summer's big screen debut of the fictional, semi-functional TV Simpson family. Springfield officials have accepted invitation from 20th Century Fox to compete for the honor of hosting the premiere screening of the Simpsons movie in July. Fox has asked 16 Springfields, Morgan to Massachusetts, to participate. The winning town and its mayor will get a free plank in the closing credits. If we're selected, that's nationwide, even worldwide exposure for us, says the mayor of Springfield. A primetime animated series created by Portland-born Matt Breinig is now in its 18th season.
18th. Jesus God.
Some say Oregon Springfield has an edge because of Groening's Oregon roots.
And is that when does that come out?
July.
I haven't even seen a trailer for it.
No.
Is there a trailer out for the Simpsons movie? It's one of those things, man. It's one of those things that they've teased. First of all, it should have come out about like 10 years ago. But it's one of those things that they should have, that they should have been teasing a long time ago, because it could either be good or it could be really bad. And I haven't heard anything about it. Okay, so Scotty's saying that there is a trailer. Well, send me, if somebody has a trailer for the Simpsons movie that's coming out, send that my way. The Simpsons has just become one of those things that maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. It's just that I take it for granted at this point. It's like I was talking to somebody about South Park the other day, and Laura was asking this question. Laura said, well, I don't hear a lot of buzz about South Park, and it's because South Park has also just reached this stage where it's just a thing that you take for granted. It's not really appointment viewing for me anymore.
I think they're on the cover. I think South Park's on the cover of Rolling Stone this month.
They are this month. There are individual episodes that people will talk about where they're like everybody told me about the World of Warcraft episode and all of that that you had to watch. But the show itself has just become one of those things. It's like King of the Hill. Do you realize King of the Hill has been on for like 13 years? I mean, it's just insane. And you don't even really think about it because it's just... it's just always around. Not unlike Paul Harvey. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Actually, on the Fox, they're pimping the Simpsons movie pretty relentlessly.
Does it look like it's any good?
It looks like it could be. And actually, this season has been quite a bit better than the last few seasons, TV-wise.
Now, the Simpsons trailer, now, do they show... Is it a teaser or is it a trailer? By which I mean, do they show any scenes from the film, or is the whole trailer just sort of a big lead up to the Simpsons movie? In other words, is it teasing you, or is it actually showing scenes?
You're actually getting scenes on it. It's not like a full huge one, but you're getting a few scenes here and there, and they're gradually, as they're going through the season here, they're adding more and more of them in.
All right, excellent. All right, thank you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Hey, no problem.
That's Chris. All right, fantastic. Let's see, this is Stephanie. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick?
Hey.
Hi, happy birthday yesterday.
Thank you.
I have a live plant nursery, so I know my bugs. And what that bug is in her bathtub is called a common house millipede.
A house millipede?
Yes, a common house millipede. They cause no damage in the home. They feed on decaying organic matter.
Read your skin.
They may migrate into homes and become a nuisance. It's considered a nuisance pest.
It's only a nuisance in as much as I'm not going to be able to sleep or so live.
Do they stay in wet areas, like in bathrooms?
Right. You want to eliminate hiding places such as plant debris and old wet boards from around the foundation or your house. So that means you may want to check your bathroom and see if you have any dry rot.
Dry rot. That's exactly what you want to do. What you want to do, Sarah, is start pulling out all of the baseboard late at night while it's dark.
You can step on it and fist off.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie.
You're welcome, Rick.
There you go. That's Stephanie, who says it's a common house millipede. All right. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Back on the campaign trail again, New Mexico Governor and presidential candidate Bill Richardson was on the campaign trail in L.A., he says he is confident about his chances of winning regardless of the competition.
I'm the only governor in the race. I'm a CEO. I've created 84,000 jobs in New Mexico. I'll do this in America. I'm the only Latino in the race, and that's important. There are a lot of Latinos in America. And either way, we'll make history, whether we elect a woman president, an African-American president, or the first Latino president.
Yeah, all right. And who is that? Bill Richards?
Yeah, Bill Richardson.
From where?
New Mexico.
He's running for what?
President.
It's not going to happen.
No.
No. Save your money.
He's well qualified. Nobody knows who he is.
No. That's the... just like when you see a movie, like we were talking about movie trailers. Like when you see a trailer and you just kind of go, no, I'm just going to save myself the $18. Bill Richardson, save the... just go buy a house or something. You could do a lot with that $1 million. All right.
Meanwhile, Rudy Giuliani ate a corned beef sandwich with members of the Indiana National Guard during a stop at a local landmark Shapiro's Deli in Indiana yesterday. He enjoyed himself immensely.
This is a wonderful, wonderful delicatessen. I feel like I'm back in New York in this delicatessen. It seems just exactly the same. And the corned beef was terrific.
You know, when he tries to act nice, it's just so clearly an act. Mm-hmm. Whenever he tries to act as though he just has... he's one of those almost, as you can tell, like his default state. I'm not sure if he's from New York. I don't know if he's a New York native. I don't know what his
name is. I believe he is, yes.
Probably. I mean, and I hate to stereotype and give rash generalizations about New Yorkers, but they can be a somewhat brusque, short-tempered people. And whenever Giuliani tries to come across as a really likable, pleasant, decent guy, it's just so clearly, it's just like a transparent falsehood. Because you can tell that his default state is just to be kneeing people in a groin and then spitting on them. So, all right, well, there you go. That another guy who's not going to be elected, by the way.
Well, he might agree. He says he doesn't consider himself to be the front runner in the race.
At an early stage like this, nobody's a front runner. Nobody's behind. Everybody has a chance. There's just so much to go that all of us are organizing, and we'll figure out probably a little less than a year from now who the Republican nominee is.
Yeah, the Republican nominee is probably going to be somebody that nobody has heard of at this point, because none of the people who are in there now are going to. This is all the next year is just it's all the Democrats' year. This is their time to just make Hillary and Obama the front runners, and everybody else is just a footnote at this point.
Time to dig up more dirt on Barack Obama. Apparently, as he prepared to announce his candidacy, he took care of some unfinished business dating back to his days at Harvard, paying about $400 in parking fines dating back to those days. 2 weeks before the Illinois senator officially entered the presidential race February 10th, he paid parking fees he received while attending Harvard Law School in Cambridge. I think it's great. We always like to collect, said Susan Chippinger, the director of Cambridge's Traffic, Parking, and Transportation Department. He paid Cambridge $375 January 26th for 17 parking tickets from between 1988 and 1990. And he paid neighboring Somerville another $45 in late fees for 2 parking tickets for the early 1900s. Oh, 1990s, I'm sorry. It's not that old. Osama also paid $73 for an auto excise taxi owed Somerville.
All right, we have to quit calling him Osama.
I've got to stop doing that. A guy who comes from that amount of money, what's he doing in Somerville, which is, it's the Gresham of Boston.
Fantastic. I don't really know.
Why would he be there?
Yeah,
going to Harvard and going to Somerville doesn't make very much sense to me.
Are those two different ends of the spectrum?
I would say so, yes.
I don't understand how it is that he had the park. When was this that the parking tickets were from?
Okay, the parking tickets were from 1988 to 1990.
That's like 20 years ago. How can you have 20-year-old parking tickets in the fine, goddamn Portland?
He has good bookkeeping. Give him that much credit, he saved these.
I suppose. Sorry, I don't understand how they're 20-year-old parking tickets and the fine is only $45. You know, in Portland, I think I forget what the default setting is for parking ticket fees downtown. I think if you get dinged in downtown Portland, I think it's like $26.
And then it doubles after 30 days.
See, and my thing is,
the thing about these laws back east, once they put them on the books, they never updated them. Like, if you're right on the subway system in Boston, you see a sign in the subway, which I guess was painted on the wall in the 1920s, is fine for smoking, $5. And it's still on the books.
Beware pickpockets and loose women.
Mm-hmm.
The hippies use side door. Like in Portland, and here's the thing, and I'm not advocating that anybody just sort of flout the, you know, the disobedience of the judicial system. That would be wrong. Whatever it is I just said. I'm just saying, like, what happens if you don't ever pay your parking tickets in Portland? Like, that's not a thing where they can. A moving violation and a parking ticket in Portland, I think, are two completely different sections of the law. I don't believe that there are two things that ever intersect. So, like, if you have a bunch of speeding tickets and you don't pay those, like, they'll either put out a bench warrant or they'll suspend you, they'll suspend your license, or they'll come in, they'll kick in your door and beat you. Like, if you get a bunch of parking tickets from just, you know, you're in downtown and they decided to put those goddamn red hoods all over which the city didn't. I gotta, seriously, here's the thing about this, about Portland. They put those red hoods over all the parking meters downtown, and then
only the places you want to park.
Yeah, only on days when I really need to get somewhere. And then they deny it. That's the other thing, sons of bitches. I have called the city of Portland, and I have demanded to know why they put those red hoods all over the parking meters, and I swear to God, the city will lie to you. They will lie right to your face. I have called the Transportation Department of Portland, and I've called the DOT, and I've said, look, what is the deal with the red hoods and the parking meters? There's nothing there. There's no construction. There are no city vehicles. Why can't I park there? And the guy says, well, we only do that with 2 or 3 parking spaces at a time throughout the city. And I said, that's not true. There's a whole block downtown for some reason. reason you can't park at. And it's never explained why. There's never anybody using those spaces. It's just there to screw me. It's just there so if I'm trying to drop something off at the Multnomah County Library System, that I'm obliged to drive like a mile and a half out of my way. And so then that begs the question, if I just never pay my parking tickets, like what happens? It isn't like points on your insurance or anything. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe that's the thing where they come in and they kick in your door with jackboots eventually. Oh, this is Patrick. Patrick knows. Patrick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, so if you don't pay after 30 days, they double. If you don't pay after, I believe, another 60 days, then they double again. And actually, every couple of years on some of the local news stations, they'll go through and they'll actually post the names of people who owe like $5,000.
Well, whatever, but I mean, if there's no downside to, like, I guess what I'm saying is that's like the national debt. Why don't, you know, just don't pay it.
They'll garnish your wages.
Is that true?
I ended up calling up the state because I owed $1,000 in parking tickets, which should have only been around $300 from when I went to PSU. And I just called up and said, hey, let me just start paying you guys $1,000. They're like, it's better that you did it, because if we did it, we'd, you know, pull out as much as possible every paycheck.
Oh, good God almighty. So really, so the city, so you actually have to pay those?
Yeah, I paid $1,000 last year.
Well, all right. Well, never.
And they're not tax deductible.
Never.
And there's interest.
Okay, well, never mind that. I'm glad you clarified that for me. I just sort of assumed it was a thing like that debt we owe to, like, China or whatever, that we're clearly just never going to pay.
Well, I just don't understand where the money goes. I think it's just like...
goes to buy more red hoods.
Or to pay more parking Nazis to walk around and give you a ticket for being a minute over on a meter that you shouldn't even have to pay for in the first place.
If only they were walking. If only they were actually walking. Instead, they're stretching out the seams in their fat-ass city-issue pants and those little tripod ice cream wagon things that
there's
they drive.
There's a couple skinny ones around.
Yeah, well, that's clearly they're new on the job. They'll blow it up. All right, thank you, Patrick.
Yep.
All right, that's Patrick. There you go. All right, let's one more here. Dan, yet another Dan. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Two things about parking. First of all, $24 is the Portland downtown ticket. $24. My girlfriend got one on a Sunday. On a Sunday. So she, bless her heart, she thinks parking anywhere is free on Sunday. She parked in a parking garage on a Sunday and got a $24 ticket.
Yeah, all right.
Secondly, most important thing people need to know, there are now people that stand outside of parking lots in downtown and pose as the people that take the money. They are not really the people that take the money. So,
now what,
check with them.
Hold on.
I park, there's like, you know how there's outdoor lots sometimes there's attendance and sometimes they're just pay and
right,
put your own
seat. Right. Yeah, there's the guy that waves the little parking thing up front. Yeah,
we drove downtown and we were parking, there's a lot adjacent to the Roseland over there. We parked there. About an hour later, I walked back out, and this guy's writing me a ticket. I'm like, okay, I paid. And he's like, who did you pay? There's some guy standing on the street just collecting money for people that wanted to drive in.
Okay, that's pretty, that in a way, though, that is pretty impressive. That I never thought about that.
You had to hand it to him. He was just collecting money.
The criminal mind is sort of, the crime is wrong, of course, and it doesn't pay, unless you're that guy, in which case it does. Because I never would have thought about that. That actually is kind of clever. I mean,
he had old receipts, old parking, used parking receipts, and he had license plates and everything written on them. It just wasn't my license plate. I didn't look at it, though.
You kind of got
it. He had change. He charged $8. It wasn't like he charged a nice round number like 5 or 10. He charged 8 and gave me change.
Well, you know, deception is in the details, my friend. I almost got to give it up to that guy, you know, for coming up with something different.
A lot more people are going to do that.
No, it's true. Well, thanks for putting the idea in everybody's head.
All right, thanks a lot, Rick.
Thank you. There you go. That's Dan and Gresham. Fantastic. Not fantastic. It is a little impressive, though. I like guys who think outside the box that way. Let's do one more here, and then we'll take a break.
Elaine Garrison has been charged with vehicular manslaughter in connection with a fatal car crash in Beverly Hills in December that left one of three teenage passengers dead. Apparently, along with felony vehicular manslaughter, he's charged with driving under the influence, causing injury to multiple victims, driving with a 0.08% blood alcohol level causing injury, furnishing alcohol to a minor. It is alleged that Garrison was driving with a blood alcohol level of more than 0.15%. He's scheduled to voluntarily turn himself over to authorities sometime this afternoon. He faces a maximum of 6 years in prison if convicted.
Well, the good thing about that guy, is from his perspective, is the media cycle moves so quickly now that I'd actually already forgotten who he was. So that's the... It's not like 20 years ago where that thing would have just been pounded into the ground every single day in the news. I don't think anybody even remembers that guy. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. More with Tim Riley around the corner. Jim Roop coming up later on, and so forth. Doug, real quickly, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, about Sarah's bug. Somebody might have mentioned it already, but each county should have, like, an agricultural extension office where you could actually take it, and they might even be able to identify it by her picture, but you could take the bug in, and they could identify it for her.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
You know, if you look in the phone book under, like, county offices, there should be an agricultural extension number there for her to call.
That's actually some... There ought to be a department like that. There ought to be some sort of Ripley's weird crap department for the city.
Yeah, and that's what they do. They'll identify critters and plants and weeds and things like that, things you want to get rid of and that kind of thing.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Doug. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Radio Program. We return to the Ministry of Truth in just a moment. Later on, Jim Roop will be here from CNN Radio Los Angeles. Oh, we're going to do this the suburban perspective later on, but it occurred to me, I realized this morning we had all this onion crap to give away still. And we got to... I'm not sure if it's the pseudo-autobiography of George W. Bush or if it's actually just one of their compilation books, but we got a bunch of onion books still. So what we're going to do is, we've done this actually in the past few times. We'll take your suggestions for suburban perspective questions. You just email those to rick@rickemerson.com. Send your suburban perspective questions, your questions for Scotty J, to rick@rickemerson.com, and in the subject line, just put suburban perspective. So if you have something you've been dying to ask Scotty J, and now is the time to send that in. rick@rickemerson.com with suburban perspective in the subject line, and the best question for Scotty J will win one of the books from the fine folks at The Onion. That's rick@rickemerson.com. Let's see. About that bug in Sarah's bathtub. Do not approach this creature. I don't know what it is, but I've seen many of them gathered together on the pedestrian bridge over I-5 next to the...
Really?
Yes. Many of them gathered together, just like Spaniards, on the pedestrian bridge over I-5 next to the Barber Transit Center. They're super quick when they want to be. They definitely attack if you mess with them too much, and they will totally kill... Oh, well, I'm sorry. And they do totally kill and eat each other regularly. So they're cannibals as well. This whole thing is a lot of wrong. Based on its behavior and terror factor, I have named this creature the spider-pede. Even the name is terrifying. They're all scratching each other again. Not each other, ourselves. And picking nits. Tell Sarah she should move. All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
A California man taken into custody by the OSP... following an attempt to elude them by going 130 miles an hour on I-84 in the gorge. The pursuit traveled through Sherman and Wasco counties before the trooper successfully spiked two tires in his attempt to elude police officers in a stolen car. He's a 33-year-old Michael John Coleman, and he's from California. Thought he could get away with it. His bail, $45,000. Trying to find out what kind of car he had. It looks like a Knight Rider type of car that he stole.
Where was this?
Oh, it's a Dodge of some sort. It's in the gorge.
No, this isn't the same thing as...
It's a Dodge Stealth. And an old one.
It was.
He stole a 1992 Dodge.
It wasn't stealthy enough, was it?
Guess not.
He wasn't able to dodge the police.
No, he was not.
See, because... But isn't the same thing as... Somebody told me, and I haven't been able to verify that this is true, that What's-His-Guts from Blues Traveler got pulled over.
And Scotty just gave me that story, as a matter of fact.
This is John Popper, the big fat bastard from Blues Traveler?
From Ritzville, Washington.
Who lives in Ritzville? Why, if you became a famous musician, would you continue to live in Ritzville?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
He's putting on the Ritzville. Mm-hmm. Okay. 39-year-old John Popper, the popular band Blues Traveler, was arrested 9 miles east of Ritzville for drug possession after... the Washington State Troopers stopped the vehicle he was traveling in. He was driving a black Mercedes SUV, and he was clocking 111 miles an hour. Initially, the driver, 34-year-old Brian Gorgias, was placed under arrest for reckless driving. The passenger registered owner is 39-year-old John Popper, placed under arrest for drug possession after troopers smelled the odor of marijuana coming from the vehicle. Popper lives in Snohomish, Washington.
Snohomish?
Yeah.
Really?
One of those Indian towns.
Jesus.
The search by a canine unit revealed multiple hidden compartments in the vehicle, a total of 14 weapons, including four rifles, one of which was a 50-caliber rifle, nine handguns and a switchblade knife were recovered, night vision goggles and a taser were also found.
What is the guy from Blues Traveler doing in his spare time?
He is a right-to-bear arms activist.
So it would seem.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus God, it's the, you know what, the creepiest item there is the night vision goggles. There's something really wrong in your life, or maybe right, depending on your perspective. If you were, I always thought the point of becoming rich and famous was so you could not live in Snohomish. Where was he pulled over? This wasn't in Snohomish, though.
Ripsville,
which
Washington.
Is right outside of Spokane, actually.
Whatever that is.
So there you go. So she's going from one bad place to another via a third bad place. Really, if you're at the point where you're at the auto dealer asking him to build a series of secret compartments into your automobile, if you don't wear a cape and a cowl, you really need to reassess what you're doing with your life.
Well, President Bush is on his way to Brazil with his lovely stepford wife, the first stop of a five-nation Latin American goodwill tour. He plans to use the tour to stress trade and talk about lifting tens of millions of Latin Americans out of poverty. Republican Senator Kay Bailey of Texas says Americans must speak with one voice.
The president is going to talk about trade relations because it is so important that our hemisphere be one. Canada, the United States, Central and South America must all be a trading alliance.
I think isn't that already going on?
That's code for learn to speak English. That's what that is right there.
Oh, and Venezuela's going to pose a very terrible problem for America very soon.
If we see the Iranians coming in doing terrorist training camps in Venezuela, you know that that's going to be a security risk to the United States.
Iranians with their asses full of evil at the airport. The asses
is
of
this
evil.
The newest story? Iranians in Venezuela?
If you're an Iranian, why would you be in Venezuela? It doesn't even make any sense.
No, you better get down there right away and put an end to it.
You better go nuke that entire place right now from orbit. We better go and just lay waste to the entire country. All right. I'm sorry. And I'm going to skip, by the way, when we talk. Oh, that was me. I apologize for snorting right there. I'm just saying that when we talk to Jim Roop later on about this guy at LAX, I'm going to skip the phrase asses of evil. Because it's like axes of evil. But then there was all the stuff in the guy's ass. He's from Iraq. Asses of evil. I was just inhaling to my nose. I didn't realize it was going to make that horrific sound.
That's all right. We forgot about it already.
Let's isolate it and make it into a promo. Here's Tim Riley.
One man in custody in connection with the suspected hate crime of dragging an African-American man through Sulphur Springs, Texas. Judge Weaver is accused of... Justin Weaver. Sorry, well, could be the justice for all we know down there. Justin Weaver is accused of using his car to drag 26-year-old Christopher Wright through the parking lot of a motel bar just after midnight. Weaver's attorney, Frank Lawn, says his client is innocent of all this.
Of course.
It'll become clear that he's not guilty of any offense, particularly no kind of race crime or hate crime.
Yeah, he was asking for it.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, this is my opinion here. Here's how, and this is, again, just my opinion. Here's how, in my opinion, you really know that this guy is, in fact, guilty, regardless of what his lawyer says. Because there's nothing that anybody in this room, there is no misunderstanding that anyone in this room could engage in that would result in us being accused of dragging somebody behind a car through a motel bar parking lot.
He fell into a noose.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's not like...
Inadequate lighting caused him to slip into a noose.
It's not like you're at the laundromat and you accidentally take the clothing out of the third dryer from the left and not the second dryer to the left. It's not as though, you know, this isn't a misunderstanding. Really, if you've been accused of that, you're probably guilty because there's really nothing similar to that that you could have been innocuously engaged in that would then lead to that accusation. So just, it seems like that's one of those points of the judicial system where you could probably just skip to the bottom of the page. We don't really need to see the math in that case. All right, here's Tim Riley.
DA Martin Brady says his office is considering that this incident may have been a hate crime.
There's definitely some issues that we're checking out, and we're going to work wholeheartedly.
Yeah, all right. Well, sounds like he's really invested in the case.
Meanwhile, American Idol's video clip ban on The View was apparently short-lived. This show is in the news like every day for something now. The Fox reality scene competition had forbid the ABC talk show from airing footage from Idol due to The View co-host Rosie O'Donnell's criticism of the contest. On today's The View, O'Donnell shared that the decision has been reversed.
Yesterday we were told we couldn't have the clips anymore because they were a little angry. But they're not angry anymore, or at least somebody who owns them.
Some of them are mad.
Well, we get the clips.
Yeah.
The point is we can have the clips.
Oh, God, listen to that voice, man. It's like having an awl pounded into my ear. You know, it's just a matter of time before somebody offers her a radio talk show. If it's not happening already,
Rosie and friends.
Somebody will tell Rosie O'Donnell she needs to be on in the morning, probably on Air America. You know, she'll fit right in over there. Just put her on Randy Rhodes back to back. It's just a shrew fest. All right.
The former co-host of The View, Star Reynolds Jones, or is it Star Jones Reynolds, is making a television comeback. She recently landed a guest appearance on NBC's Law & Order SUV and is now signing a deal with Court TV to host her own television show. She says she enjoyed The View, but now it's time to move on.
It was some of the best television ever. So, you can't take away from what it was. You really can't. But now, new chapter, turn page. I'm glad I'm doing CTV.
What is she doing?
She's going to be on Court TV.
Doing what? Oh, that's right, because she was allegedly a lawyer.
Yeah.
Imagine having Star Jones as your lawyer. Is there anything, like there's anything you could do to bias a jury against you more than that? With my lawyer, Star Jones. I mean, you'll give you life in the electric chair. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Starbucks across the country are giving away free 12-ounce or tall cups of coffee next Thursday, March 15th from 10 to noon. They won't come without a price. Expect long lines. Some people report using up their entire lunch for a free cup of coffee. This is a free national coffee break.
And they're doing this. I think they're doing this because McDonald's doing the same thing tomorrow.
And I guess their coffee is better.
Oh, is it Starbucks?
No, McDonald's is better than Starbucks.
What is the coffee they serve now at McDonald's? Does anybody know? Not that it matters to me because I don't go to McDonald's, but does anybody know what they serve there? Is it Seattle's Best, do you think?
I'm not sure.
I think somebody told me that they serve Seattle's Best. It's Seattle's Best, which is infinitely better to Starbucks, than Starbucks. There's any number of coffees if you wait in line, the coffee costs like $1.50, a small coffee at Starbucks. If you're waiting in line for an hour to get something really, unless you're homeless, you really ought to just be removed from the gene pool. That's all I'm saying. All right.
Well, CBS News has fired the executive producer of Katie Couric's CBS Evening News and appointed former CNN MSNBC president Rick Kaplan to do the job. Didn't he lead MSNBC down the drain?
I was gonna say, what exactly is the job, do you suppose? Is this the job of telling Ms. Couric that it's not really working out and that she shouldn't lean against that desk so much? Hmm. She does that whole thing of wrapping up the... do you watch the CBS News?
Well, no.
Sarah?
I don't watch
CBS.
I don't watch any scheduled television newscasts. They seem to be a bit geriatric.
The Katie Couric has this, she has this thing she does where she ends the newscast by, see, I try to be a team player. I watch it. By standing in front of the desk and then, like, leaning back against it. And it just seems like a matter of time till somebody on the staff who doesn't like her just has to screw with her by just removing one or loosening one of the legs of the desk. And she's going to go and she's going to lean back against it, and it's just going to be one big Karnak. The whole thing is just going to implode into small little desk shards.
Well, he's replacing Ron Hartman, who had the position since Couric began at CBS last September. The newscast has been a distant third in the ratings behind ABC and NBC, but not everywhere. It does well in small towns, just in the major cities.
Yeah.
During last month's pivotal ratings sweep period, Couric's average of 7.6 million viewers was 6% down from back when Bob Schieffer was on that broadcast.
So she's basically getting paid two, because she got $14 million, so she's getting paid $2 a viewer.
Yeah.
That's really what it is, for every person watching her. Well, good work if you can get it, I suppose. All right.
So I guess ABC's in first place now.
I don't even know who, and this makes me a bad American, but I don't even know who hosts the other two. It's not Tom Brokaw.
No, he's retired.
Is he? And Peter Jennings is dead, right?
Yeah.
Peter Jennings dead.
Is the guy that can't sit up straight, or used to not sit up, he kind of used to sit on the slant? Or the camera was crooked, maybe one wheel was missing? And they just left it there?
I don't even know who you're talking about.
Brian, what's his name?
Brian Williams?
Yeah, Brian Williams.
What do you mean he sits at a slant?
He used to sit on a slant when I used to watch him on cable.
Does he
never sit up straight?
He has scoliosis.
I don't know.
Brian Williams and his slanting spine, ladies and gentlemen. Right next to the bearded lady.
And who's on ABC? I don't know.
It's not...
I don't watch these things.
I don't really know. And we work in the media. We work at CBS. Shouldn't we really know who's on the other networks? Brian Williams, Katie Couric. I've got nothing. I realize it's not even just. It's not even that I have that I don't know. It's that there's no entry for that in my head.
I do watch the local news sometimes. I like Channel 12 because you're always living next door to a child molester, and then when you go to lunch, they're trying to poison you where you eat.
And then when you come home, there's radon.
Uh huh.
Yeah. In the Wikipedia.
That's the way I like to finish my day. I'm not safe anywhere.
In the Wikipedia of my brain, there's just no entry for ABC Evening News. There's barely a thumbnail entry for CBS Evening News and NBC Evening News. No, I've got nothing. Well, okay, there you go. Doesn't really matter, I guess. Here's Tim Riley.
What's so hard about Muslims and Jews getting along? Well, the city of Los Angeles is hosting a Muslim and Jewish convention today. Daniel Sokash of the Progressive Jews said they want to help prevent tension between the communities who are often seen as enemies.
Relationships between leading Muslims and Jews suffered and ultimately snapped under the pressures that were brought about by international affairs that we had little or no control over. The violence between Palestinians and Israelis, the aftermath of 9/11.
You know, if the
hopefully
Jews,
they don't go to the right wrong place, they end up at the gang summit.
Oh, that's better than my joke.
That
strips my joke. All right. You know, if the Jews would just quit controlling the weather, these things wouldn't happen. Everybody be able to get along peacefully. All right. Here's the... This does seem like a... Where is this? In L.A.?
Yeah.
This seems like a phenomenally ill-advised idea.
Oh, it depends what the buffet is.
I can just...
Okay.
Just follow the sound of the gunfire, I guess.
All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Wait, what time is it? Okay, we got time here. We got the... Jim Rube coming up at 2, by the way. Later on, Ed McCarthy is going to give us a little bit of final bit of closure. This is the frustrating thing about this Anna Nicole thing.
I wasn't going to talk about it today.
Go ahead.
Well, were you not?
Not.
Ed's going to come on basically to tell us that I guess they determined the cause of death, but then they're not going to tell anybody.
For another 2 months.
Yes.
They're just going to keep it under wraps. They're going to the coroner's office is going to unveil it during coroner sweeps week.
All right. Here's Tim Riley.
All those crazy obese couples having a more difficult time conceiving a baby than couples of normal weight.
Really?
That according to a new tireless study.
I'm stunned.
Imagine having to be the person who has to conduct that study. Well, they tracked nearly 48,000 Danish obese couples between 1996 and 2002, including 7,600 couples of both men and women, either overweight or obese according to the standards set by the World Health Organization. If both the men and women were obese, their chances of having to wait longer than a year before the woman became pregnant was nearly 3 times higher for couples of normal weight.
Let's all take a moment here and imagine why that probably is.
If the men and women were both overweight, their likelihood of waiting longer than a year before pregnancy was 1.4 times higher.
Okay. I'm just picturing a series of low, repeating, slapping sounds coming from the apartment next to me in the building where I used to live. Just a morbidly obese couple demonstrating their unholy love 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times a week. It's like the couple that always seems to be on the other side of the wall for me whenever I'm at, like, a Motel 6 or something. All right.
It wasn't what you thought. They were just trying to remove their socks.
Fantastic. Let's do two more here, and then we'll take a break.
Well, attempts to do a movie stunt landed one man in the hospital with burned genitals and another facing criminal charges. The man were trying to do a stunt from one of the Jackass movies in which a character lights his genitals on fire. 20-year-old Jared Anderson suffered severe burns to his hands and genitals, according to a criminal complaint. Apparently, so somebody complained about this. Randall Peterson, who's 43, had sprayed lighter fluid on Anderson and lit him on fire. According to the complaint, Anderson pulled down his pants and let Peterson spray him with lighter fluid. When the fire didn't catch, Peterson sprayed more lighter fluid on Anderson.
Wait, hold on.
Splashing some of his clothing. When he tried to light the fire, catching Anderson's genitals, hands, and clothes on fire. So Anderson ran into the bathroom, jumped into the tub, and put the flames out. Luckily, there was water in the tub. Other guests. Yes, there were other people there.
Well, of course.
Who were next in line for this stuff? Took him to a Luther hospital. Eventually, he was treated at the region's burn center. Anniston told police he was called to the hospital. Oh, I see. Police were called to the hospital. He didn't want anyone to get in trouble because of the stunt.
Really? But if you're the kind of person who would, if you're the kind of person who offers to let someone else spray your body with lighter fluid and then light it, you know, set it ablaze, really, I think I can speak for all of the rest of humanity when I urge that other person to please aim for your genitals with that
but
fire.
But this is Wisconsin in the wintertime.
Yeah, I understand.
They probably just came back from ice fishing.
I was just going to say, it's either that or strip down to a Speedo and jump into an ice-covered lake. But really, if you think it's a good idea for another person to set you on fire, like, I don't know, like while you're waiting for Monday Night Football or whatever to come on, really, I would like to ask them to please aim for your groin. Because the rest of us are better without your progeny. All right. Actually, we got to come up. Let's do one more, and then we'll break. After this, we'll come back with Ed McCarthy around the corner.
Well, from Finland comes word that some people don't understand what all the fuss is about. For Henri Akisinki's vodka, or Vienna in Finnish, it's mostly about having a good time and not what it's made out of. But battle lines have been drawn in the European-wide vodka war as nations wrangle over the definition of the century-old spirit. The stakes are high as rival groups fight for dominance in a booming vodka market worth $12 billion in sales.
I don't understand. Isn't vodka? I thought vodka was made out of potatoes.
That's what I always thought. The traditional ingredients are barley, grain, and potatoes. And apparently that's what the European Union is insisting on. But some use other ingredients, such as grapes, beets, and citrus fruit.
Well, you know, in Russia, though...
Well, that's in France.
And over there, it's just like whatever you can find laying around. If you don't have any vodka, it's the mother... Necessity is sort of the mother of fermentation over there. So whatever it is, whatever... And plus, I was at a liquor store the other day, and it's like, when did everything start becoming... When did we start saying everything was infused with something else? Whatever happened to just, like, coated with, or containing, or with stuff in it? There's... Soaked in. Infused is the new signage. Like how everything had to have age put at the end of it. Now everything has to be infused. Like those, what are those McGriddle things? Where it's like some...
Are they infused with syrup?
It's not infused, it just has syrup in it. Infused is another one of those made-up marketing words that everybody is now demanding that they watch, or demanding that they use. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Whatever happened to Pepsi Light? I don't know. The one with the lemon... I was calling to find out why this guy with the flaming genitals isn't a Darwin watch.
Well, I'm not entirely sure. He may still be able to breathe. That's the thing. We're not sure if his genitals were actually burned off.
Okay. And secondly, if you want to end with the, you could say this guy had a case of flaming genitals? Flaming genitals? I don't know. A flaming case of genitals?
I think the wah-wah really requires... I think it actually requires a joke.
It's there somewhere, and it's...
Well, I'll give you a second. Hold on. Don't go anywhere.
Play the music?
No, yes. Yes, take a few seconds and see if you can come up with a better joke. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. See if you can just... There you go. All right, now I've got the wah-wah standing by, but it does require some sort of punchline or wit to be used beforehand.
I guess you could say this guy had the hottest genitals on the block.
Give me that chance. Give me one more. Then we're just going to go our separate ways if this one doesn't work out. I appreciate the fact that you call up and you want to be humorous, so I'm going to give you a third pass at this. All right. There you go. One more time about this man who accidentally set his sack on fire. Go ahead.
I just can't. The vision of the fire and such just gives me nothing.
Okay. Thank you for trying, sir.
All right.
That's Jeff. All right. There you go. The judges would have accepted, he went to the doctor when he experienced a fiery sensation. A burning sensation. See, that's funny. That's close to being funny, at least. And I haven't even taken three passes at it. his first time around, blah, blah, blah.
I guess you haven't said anything along the lines of, like, his genitals were burning for something.
I was experiencing, he was burning to find entertainment. He was something, I was experiencing a burning sensation in my genitals, so I went to the great balls of fire. Thank you, Scotty. See, there there you go. All right, now I feel complete. Now we can end. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We return around the corner with Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio Los Angeles. Later on, Jim Roop will join us, and we'll talk about this man who was smuggling things inside his rectum through Los Angeles Airport. Oh, and we'll try to get a definitive answer on this the problem with this thing lurking inside Sarah's bathtub. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.